Has anybody ever been to Disneyland?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. What do you remember, just really quick, about Disneyland? What comes to your mind?
Pirates.
What's that?
Pirates.
Pirates Caribbean, what'd you say?
Space Mountain.
Space Mountain, cool. Why did you? Oh. Michelle, thanks for that. John, the whole way to Medford tonight. Yep. Oh, I promise you now. Lines? Don't you remember those? So the Express Pass was kind of a thing when I was there. I noticed that though it's called the most wonderful place on earth, right? There was a lot of people like this. Cranky, and that this was before, you know, phones had cameras on them, and so I'm one of those disposal cameras, and I said, Brad, can you see this lady behind me? And he goes, yeah, and I go, click, and she, because she was like this. I'm the most wonderful place on earth. And honestly, we didn't really sleep much on the way down there, and I literally had like an hour of sleep in 24 hours. And it's, you know, open pretty late on New Year's Eve. And we're in this line to go on this train ride. I don't know why. It was like a little kid ride, whatever. But just two adult men right there. And we're getting ready. And pretty soon I hear Brad saying, Aaron. I'm like, yes. He goes, no way. And I said, what? He goes, you just fell asleep standing up. And I did. I was like this. Probably drooling or whatever. I mean, I was just so out of it. But what in the world does that have to do with anything? Nothing. It's just a memory for me. All right, let's take this morning's offering. I'm glad you guys came. We have just celebrated, for many of us, Emmanuel, God with us. The baby in the manger, all that amazing story. And we've been talking about Jesus, this King of Kings, this Lord of Lords. I could not have asked Joshua to come up with something better because I'm not the Holy Spirit. But this shalom, this King of Peace, and shaloming one another, I so desperately want to shalom people. I get to do kind of a bad news, good news message today, and it's similar really to last week's message. But this one is, we're not just looking at the baby born Savior, but how he saved was really gruesome. Wasn't peaceful for him at all. He was broken that we would be made whole, as you just heard. He died that we would live. And he rose from the dead that we would raise with him. This Emmanuel is holy. He's perfect. He's complete. But he wasn't just baby, and he didn't just die. He actually is coming back as conquering king. And I want to ask you, what do you think he's coming back to conquer? You think it's pollution? Yeah, sure. Sin pollution, for sure. Is there going to be people that get conquered? Nations and all that? Yeah, I mean, this is part of who he is. And he's also judge. Boy, that's just like, we don't like the word judge. We can be very judgmental. You're judgmental just now, some of you, about that word judge. You have opinions, you have assumptions, you have prejudices, and we have judgment. But the judge is Jesus. And often we want him to make everything right. But do we want him to make everything right, or just him right, and her right, and this right, and make the right, and make the left right, and make Trump just get away from his phone. I mean, anything, right? Just we want so desperately to see everything be the way it's supposed to be. Based on what, though, friend? Based on my interpretation, your interpretation, grandma's interpretation. What about Jesus? What about what he says? What about this great shalom, this King of Kings, this Lord of Lords? Not my king. Well, he's still the king. I literally, and I know that this is a hot button issue for people. I did not vote for Donald Trump. I did not vote for Hillary Clinton. I wrote in a dude. He didn't win. But I still live in the United States of America. I'm a citizen here. Do you know who the president of the United States of America is? Donald Trump. You can say all you want. He's not my president. You may mean you didn't vote for him. You don't like him. His hair is weird. Whatever. I don't know what your issue would be with him if you found yourself saying that, but he actually still is your president. Pray for him a bunch. Pray for Barack Obama. Still. He has so much influence in this world. You guys, often we have this idea of how kingship, how ruling, how life is supposed to be. And Jesus comes as a baby and totally threw that stuff for a loop. Got a lot of text to share with you. I'm not going to spend a ton of time talking about the millennial kingdom. Some of you don't even know what that means. And that's okay. Some know that it's a 1,000-year reign. Some people think it's a legitimate 1,000 years, like literally 1,000 years of perfect rule and reign. And believe that God has raptured his people before all that would happen. There'd be no tribulation for their people. They call that pre-trib and premillennial. And some of you are the post-millennial. There's really no rapture. Jesus comes after all this. And I mean, I have literally seen people fight over this one. I'm not afraid to argue. It's not worth it. It's not worth arguing for me. It's worth talking about. But I'm just not going to spend a lot of time. So I'm going to, like in the very beginning, there's also this all millennial. And it's like, really, Jesus coming and paying for all of our sins was the victory for the saints. And that millennial reign happens now. It's been happening. Then Satan gets released. And then he gets defeated. But all three of these main views end on the same thing. Jesus returns triumphant. Amen. He is the judge, and everything he does is right. Still, it's happening now that he's right. His rule and his reign, we spent all year going through the Bible to get to know God more. And we're going to actually spend all next year going through the book of Luke to get to know Jesus personally in some really profound ways. And today I offer up to you, wherever you're at, do you want Jesus to come?
No, not yet.
Yeah, see, why not? See, this is it. Michelle, I don't want to embarrass you, but we prayed and she cried because Revelation's scary because there comes an end and there ain't no second chance for the people after Jesus comes back the second time. I love both of you ladies, and I have an evangelist heart. I want people to know Jesus, and I want people who are lost to be found. But I want Jesus' rule and reign, and I want it bad. I want it for the world. He is being patient. He's not slow, as some understand slowness to be. He doesn't want anybody to be separated, and yet tons will. So these words, these three words, come Lord Jesus. Is this you? Is this your heart? Because you can actually live this out now before he comes and makes every knee bow and every tongue confess. You can live it in such a way that the people who don't want him to come go, man, but there's something about her. There's something about that family. There's something about that church. There's something about the life that they live. They've got this shalom, this wholeness, this completion. They've got a peace that just passes understanding. So let's go. Revelation 19, 9 and 10. I'll have it up on the screen for you. We have black Bibles underneath Some of the chairs, you can grab them. They're yours. We want you to keep it. If you don't have a Bible, Happy New Year. Merry Christmas. Happy birthday. It's yours. Revelation 19:9. And the angel said to me, sorry, it's on page 1040 in these black Bibles. It's near the very end. Well, because it's the last book in the Bible. And the angel said to me, write this. Blessed are those, this is a beatitude, by the way. There's seven of them in the end here in Revelation. But blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. There was a wedding, and then there was a marriage supper. And it was a party, and a lot of times that party would go on for a few days. No matter what you look at, this party is going to go on for a long, 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 long time. And so, check it out. Blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And the angel said to me, these are the true words of God. John is the one who wrote this, and we talked a lot about it. You can go back and listen to all that. Then I fell down at his feet to worship him. Who was he falling down to worship? And the angel. Still happens today, by the way. People worship angels. Some worship a fallen angel. His name's Satan. I fell down at his feet to worship him, but he said to me, you must not do that. I'm a fellow servant with you and your brothers who hold to the testimony of Jesus. Worship God. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Now there's so much to that, and I'm actually not going to unpack it. So the testimony of Jesus is that he's God. This worship God is for all of us. Worship God. Friends, don't worship people. Don't worship money. Don't worship angels. Don't worship creation. Worship the Creator. One God. One God. That just makes it simple, doesn't it? But what if, no, actually, one God. Well, but the Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, still one God. How does that work out? Don't even have time to explain it because I don't know how to fully explain it. I do believe it. I believe there's a triune God. He's Father, He's Son, He's Holy Spirit. He can live inside of you and rule everything all at the same time. And that's good. So worship God. This angel's like, don't worship me. I'm a servant just like you. So we'll fast forward. Verse 11, still on page 1040. Then I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And we heard about a white horse back in Revelation 6. That was a false savior. This is the real deal. And watch what happens. The one sitting on it is called faithful and true. And in righteousness, he judges and makes war. I thought he was peace. Not everybody wants this peace. His eyes are like flames of fire. And on his head are many diadems. That's crowns. And he has a name written that no one knows but himself. This name's a big deal. We'll find out someday. We don't know it yet. We know a lot of names about him. We know I am. We know that Moses is trying to figure out, okay, how am I going to go and tell Pharaoh to let your people go? Who should I tell him? Sent me. Because they understood the name of God, the names of gods all over the place. That was a big deal. And Yahweh says to him, Yahweh, tell him I am sent you. I am that I am. But this name, we don't know what it is. Nobody knows but himself. He's clothed in a robe dipped in blood. I used to think that was kind of like a little shout out to everybody. Look, you're about to get killed. I am a bad mamma jamma. I've got blood on my robe. As I've studied this, I really have landed on that I think that's his blood. We learned earlier that people dipped their robes in blood and were made white as snow. Jesus comes saying the victory is won, and it was the blood of the Lamb that did it. He's clothed in a robe dipped in blood. And the name by which he is called is the Word of God. This is Jesus on the horse. And the armies of heaven, arrayed in fine linen, white and pure, were following him on white horses. From his mouth comes a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations. This is his word, the Bible. Go back again to Hebrews 4 and read about that. And he will rule them with a rod of iron. He will tread the winepress of fury of the wrath of God the Almighty. On his robe and on his thigh, he has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You ever heard the phrase, hell to pay? Anybody? You hear that? Is that like kind of like, if I don't clean the house before mom gets home, there's going to be hell to pay, you know, that kind of thing, right? Well, this is literally hell to pay. Jesus comes back. He doesn't actually send people to hell as much as people say, I don't want you. I'd rather have hell. I'd rather be separated from you. And Jesus accommodates that. Listen, I'm just going to read through this. Verse 17. Then I saw an angel standing in the sun. And with a loud voice, he called to all the birds that fly directly overhead. Come, gather for the great supper of God. To eat the flesh of kings, the flesh of captains, the flesh of mighty men, the flesh of horses and their riders, and the flesh of all men, both free and slave, both small and great. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth with their armies gathered to make war against him who was sitting on the horse and against his army. This is Satan. This is the false prophet. This is the beast. Who had tons of authority and power. And he was ready to fight against Jesus and his army. And the beast was captured. And with it, the false prophet, who in its presence had done the signs by which he deceived those who had received the mark of the beast and those who worshipped its image. These two were thrown alive into the lake of fire that burns with sulfur. I don't have verse 21 here. And the rest were slain by the sword that came from the mouth of him who was sitting on the horse. And all the birds were gorged with their flesh. That just seems so unpleasant. It's what I don't like about church. It's all doom and gloom. Nah, actually, I've been way more accused of being just too positive. I love the good news of Jesus Christ. Absolutely love it. I love to preach it. I love to share it. But people don't always want it. I'll ask you again. Is your heart, don't come now, Lord Jesus, because you want people to know the good news? Or is your, don't come now, Lord Jesus, because you've got some things you want to do. You got some places you want to be. You got a bucket list. Whether it's Disneyland or the Rose Bowl, or maybe for some of you it's like, I just want to have sex someday. I just want to get married. I want to make my first million. There's people that don't want God's rule and reign. There's no millennial reign in their mind. They don't want anything perfect. And we're about to find out that there was this perfect time. And everything was going great. And it looked like everybody was submitted to the King of Kings. Satan gets a chance to come out. He's released for a short time, and he deceives many. And the nations rally around him again. Which ought to show you, church, that you and I cannot save ourselves on good behavior alone. We can't save ourselves on well-intentioned hearts and lives. Jesus alone saves. Jesus alone. Verse 1. Then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, holding in his hand the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain. And he seized the dragon, that ancient serpent, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. And he threw him into the pit, and he shut it and sealed it over him, so that he might not deceive the nations any longer until the 1,000 years were ended. After that, he must be released for a little while. Watch what again, we talked about millennial reign. I'm just going to jump to Revelation 20, verse 4. Then I saw thrones, and seated on them were those to whom the authority to judge was committed. God allows people to be part of this. Also, I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for the testimony of Jesus and for the word of God. What were they beheaded for? Like telling the truth, right, about Jesus. This is what actually helps people win. Well, what did they win? Initially, they won a beheading. I don't know if you know that, but this isn't like chickens. When your head's gone, you're done. Thanks for that. That's good. Look, he saw their souls. Though they were beheaded, they still lived. And for the word of God, they were beheaded. And those who had not worshipped the beast or its image and had not received its mark on their foreheads or on their hands, and all those people died for it too. They came to life and they reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. The rest of the dead did not come to life until the 1,000 years were ended. This is the first resurrection. First resurrection was of these people that loved and followed God. And they didn't love their lives. And we found out about that last week, that they actually were willing. It was the word, the testimony, it was the blood of the Lamb. They didn't love their own lives so much as that they wouldn't stand up for the truth. Friends, we don't live in that time here in America. We have brothers and sisters all around the world, actually, who are being killed because they believe in Jesus. I do believe that we're going to see that. Are we ready for that? Come now, Lord Jesus. Some of us are like, yeah, actually, Aaron, I want to change my answer. I want Jesus to come because I don't want to get my head cut off. How about it come because his rule and reign is something that you already live and you want everybody to know it? You want everybody to have this peace that passes understanding. Here's another blessing. Blessed and holy is the one who shares in the first resurrection. Over such, the second death has no power, but they will be priests of God and of Christ, and they will reign with him for 1,000 years. Well, friends, here's hell to pay, part two. Verse 7. And when the 1,000 years are ended, Satan will be released from his prison, and he'll come out to deceive the nations that are at the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them for battle. Their number is like the sand of the sea. Gosh, that's a lot of people that were faking the funk. They're like, yep, we're just waiting to see if Satan would come back, because we really dig that kind of ruler. There are people that don't want Jesus. I don't know who all of them are, but they're real. They can't even be numbered. After his rule and his reign for 1,000 years. And they marched up over the broad plain of the earth and surrounded the camp of the saints and the beloved city, Jerusalem. But fire came down from heaven and consumed them. Fight over. Gosh, it just barely even got started. Yeah, because God rules. And the devil who had deceived them was thrown into the lake of fire and sulfur, where the beast and the false prophets were, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. Yeah. Amen. Then I saw a great white throne and him who was seated on it. From his presence, earth and sky fled away, and no place was found for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and the books were opened. Then another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged by what was written in the books, according to what they'd done. And the sea gave up the dead who were in it. Death and Hades gave up the dead who were in them, and they were judged, each one of them, according to what they'd done. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death. The lake of fire. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. It's been a very popular, well thought out, amazingly received message lately that there's no such thing as hell. They did not read the Bible. And yet they did. They think God's just too loving. He doesn't want anybody to. They'll suffer for a while. Verse 15. If anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. We found out earlier, right, that lake of fire is day, night, forever. I don't want that for people. I don't. It breaks my heart. I have people that I love dearly, people in my own family who just aren't sure that Jesus is all that he's cracked up to be. I know you've told me since I've been a little kid, or you've been alongside of me, and I remember when you didn't believe this, Aaron, and now you do, so you'll come back around. I'm like, you got me twisted with somebody else. Jesus is life. But apart from him, there won't be life. I don't have this for you up on the screen, but it's in the Bible, John 5, 24. As the new year is coming upon us very quickly, and as we're ending 2018, for some of you, you're like, come on, let's just do something different. Listen what Jesus says. John 5, 24. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. Not eternal suffering, eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life. As you see, Jesus came to make all things new. Restored, renewed, brand new, whatever way you want to look at it. I'm going to let this flood over you. I've been praying for us, praying a bunch today. This is Revelation 21. That bad news, that's over. Look, we are reading ahead of what can happen. Or what's going to happen. What could happen for you is that you could enjoy forever life with Jesus. Starting today, you get used to it. Like when he comes back and every knee has to bow and every tongue has to confess that he's the Lord, you'd be like, oh, no trouble. I do that anyways. He's my Lord. He's my Savior. I dig him. He gets to judge me, and I'll be forever with him because of what he's done. I want that. And I'm ready for that. So come now, Lord Jesus. But we know people don't know that. And so tell them this part. Tell them the part that's bad, but then tell them the part that's good and end on the good, because that's where they could end, because of the blood of Jesus. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. That's how it started, by the way. Now we're restoring it. It's seeing it done the way it's supposed to be done. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. This is what God wanted in the first place. This is where he tabernacled. Do you know that he actually came and dwelled with us as Jesus? And he comes again, and he wants us to be with him. That's his longing, his desire. That's what he paid for. But those who didn't want it, they got what they wanted, and that was separation. And they'll get it forever. God himself will be with them as their God. Verse 4, he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have what? Passed away. And he who was seated on the throne said, behold, I'm making all things new. Also, he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. We've heard that multiple times already this morning. And he said to me, it's done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I will give from the spring of water of life without payment. They can't pay for it, and they won't have to. The one who conquers will have this heritage, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. But as for the cowardly, the faithless, the detestable, as for murderers, the sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars, their portion will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death. Next time you say or hear the phrase, you only live once, and I'm not just talking YOLO, I mean, that's like made its way out, I'm sure it'll come back, but you only live once, gets said all the time, be reminded in your heart, but you can die twice, and you don't have to because of Jesus. Humble yourselves, submit. What are you submitting to? He's not playing uncle with you. He's God. And he's like, look, I want you to have life. I want you to know it abundantly. Here, now, forever. Then came one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls full of the seven last plagues. And he spoke to me saying, come, I'll show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great high mountain. And he showed me the whole city, Jerusalem, coming down, the holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, its radiance like the most rare jewel. Look, I mean, I can't even begin to understand how all this spills out of his mouth. But look, he tries to explain it. It's like a jasper, clear as crystal. It had a great high wall with 12 gates, and at the gates were 12 angels, and on the gates the names of the 12 tribes of the sons of Israel were inscribed. On the east, 3 gates. On the north, 3 gates. On the south, 3 gates. And on the west, 3 gates. Sounds very familiar if you're reading through the Bible with us. This was the tent. This was the tabernacle. But this is the way it was supposed to be, and it'll never, ever be defeated. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them were the 12 names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. His kingdom then, his kingdom now, his kingdom forever. There's a whole lot of other stuff that gets talked about right here. And I'm going to just fast forward to verse 21. The 12 gates were 12 pearls, each of the gates made of a single pearl. Thus why people call it the pearly gates. And the street of the city was pure gold. They walked on the stuff like transparent glass. And I saw no temple in the city, for its temple is the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb. And the city has no need of sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and its lamp is the Lamb. By its light will the nations walk, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it. And its gates will never be shut by day, and there will be no night there. They will bring it into it the glory and honor of the nations. But nothing unclean will ever enter it, nor anyone who does what is detestable or false, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Christ is life. Jesus alone. He's not making it hard to understand. It's not complicated. What's complicated is that we want to say, God, can I have my cake and eat it too? God, can I put my foot in your kingdom and my foot over here in mine? And can I do both things? And he'll say, you can give that a shot, but it doesn't work. Christ is life, not your efforts. The only thing you and I can do is receive it, and it's good. We're allowed to receive it. And when we do receive it, we live out his rule and his reign, and we see things change, and we have strength to make it through the week and painful times, and we have the ability to see him for who he really is, that he's Emmanuel, that Christ is life. And he always will be. Nothing nasty is ever going to be there. The place is lit up, not by electricity, not even by the sun. It's lit up by his glory. His presence is with us, and we see as we're supposed to. Revelation 22, 1 through 5. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as a crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb through the middle of the street of the city. Also on either side of the river, the tree of life, that one that was actually taken away, now is right there. Right there. With its 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit each month. Wow. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be anything accursed, but the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and his servants will worship him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. Before you saw his face, you die. Not anymore. It's life. And night will be no more. This is the second time we hear that in just a few verses. They will need no light of lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever. Jesus is coming, church. Do you want him? Do we want to share his good news, or are we going to keep it to ourselves? Look, I started out today's message telling you that I get to go to the Rose Bowl. That's exciting to me. Why would I keep stuff that's exciting and good to myself? Why would we keep God's kingdom, his rule and his reign, his glorious appearing, his presence, his power and his ability to heal us? Why do we keep it to ourselves? And he said to me, these words are trustworthy and true. And the Lord, the God of the spirits of the prophets, has sent his angel to show his servants what must soon take place. He wants us to know. And behold, I'm coming soon. Blessed is the one who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. I, John, am the one who heard and saw these things. And when I heard and saw them, I fell down to worship at the feet of the angel. Come on, John. Have we not learned this yet? We lose sight. Good news. When you're God's, he knows you. He loves you. He calls you to repentance. He gives you the ability to get up from worshiping anything other than him and worship him. Today's that day. You must not do that, he says. I'm a fellow servant with you and your brothers, the prophets, and with those who keep the words of this book. Again, worship God. Call you out on that. Let's worship God. It's not just singing, it's living every single day. And he said to me, don't seal up the words of the prophecy of this book. A lot of other times, and in Daniel and all that, there's stuff that was to be sealed up. He's like, don't seal these up, for the time's near. Let the evildoer still do evil, and the filthy still be filthy, and the righteous still do right, and the holy still be holy. Behold, I'm coming soon, bringing my recompense with me to repay each one for what he's done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes so that they may have the right to the tree of life, and they may enter the city by the gates. Outside are the dogs, sorcerers, the sexually immoral, the murderers, idolaters, and everyone who loves and practices falsehood. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you about these things for the churches. I'm the root and the descendant of David. He's God and man. Just a sweet reminder that he's got this whole thing covered and knows what it's like to be like us. And yet he's totally different than us because he's the bright morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let the one who hears say, come. And let the one who's thirsty, come. Let the one who desires to take the water of life without price. I warn everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book, if anyone adds to them, God will add to him the plagues described in this book. If anyone takes away from the words of this book, of this prophecy, God will take away his share in the tree of life and in the holy city, which are described in this book. He who testifies to these things says, surely I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with all. Amen. Lord, you are Emmanuel. You are with us, and sometimes that's so hard to experience and understand. And so I pray that this grace that you just talked about would open our eyes to you. God, I thank you that for those who are here this morning, God, they're able to hear yet again your words. And I pray that they would respond to you, not in indifference, not in rebellion, but they'd respond in gratitude. That we would be grateful and we would say, come, come into my heart, lead my life, come and show this world love. Show this world truth. You are both judge and you are the sacrifice for our sins. That's so mind-blowing. May we not rebel against you. May we quickly come back to you. May we love you and may we share your good news with each other. Your shalom is real, and I pray that we would experience it and share it. It's in your perfect name we pray. Amen.